Our scripture this morning is from the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. A follower named Ananias lived in Damascus, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision. Ananias answered, "Lord, here I am." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, and when you get there, you will find a man named Saul from the city of Tarsus. Saul is praying, and he has been seen a vision. He saw a man named Ananias coming to him and putting his hands on them so that he could see again." Ananias replied, "Lord, a lot of people have said and told me that the terrible things that this man has done." Ananias replied, "Lord, a lot of people have told me about the terrible things this man has done to your followers in Jerusalem. Now the chief priests have given him the power to come here and to arrest anyone who worships in your name." The Lord said to Ananias, "Go, I have chosen him to tell foreigners, kings, and the people of Israel about me. I will show them how much he must suffer for worshiping in my name." Ananias left and went into the house where Saul was staying. Ananias placed his hands on him and said, "Saul, the Lord Jesus has sent me. He is the same one who appeared to you on the road. He wants you to be able to see and be filled with the Holy Spirit." When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the followers, but they were all afraid of him because they did not believe he was a true believer. Then Barnabas helped him by saying, "Take him to the apostles." He explained, "Saul had seen the Lord and how the Lord had spoken to him." And Barnabas also said, when Saul was in Damascus, he had spoken bravely in the name of Jesus. I discovered one thing incidentally about reading up here. The light from that window kind of makes it difficult to see. I understand what Saul was going through on that road now. The scripture tells us that I've read is some of the most exciting story in the New Testament. Saul is en route from Damascus to Damascus from Jerusalem to arrest the followers of Jesus, and because they were viewed as people who were not with them. He'd been present at the stoning of Stephen. He was the one that held the clothes when they stoned him. In fact, the followers of Jesus, however, didn't give up. In fact, they were more active than ever. Saul had been given the authority from the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem to find out any of them there, arrest them, and carry them to Jerusalem for trial. On the way to Damascus, Paul has a problem. He can't see. There's a light that comes from a head. It was something like this. He can't eat. He can't drink. He can't think. He's really helpless. But he hears a voice telling him to go into the city and he'll find the home of a man named Ananias. And he has heard of the way and will guide him for the next things. Ananias was directed to go to him and tell him that he'd been chosen to tell foreigners, kings, and the people of Israel about Jesus. It's a very strange assignment. Ananias is not really thrilled about this because all the people he's known in this get killed and get put in jail. He's heard of Saul. He's heard of his mission to get rid of these fanatic followers of this Jesus. So he goes to Saul, and Saul then stays with him for several days while he's recovering some of his sight. Saul preaches then with great fervor, and he is believes Ananias has been saying about this Jesus. But the followers there don't trust him. They're afraid of him. At this point, a man steps in by the name of Joseph Barnabas. Now, we don't know him except by Barnabas, but some might know him as Joe. But he's one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And he hears of the vision that Saul has had, and he took a chance that what Saul experienced was true. There's still a problem, though, because the other people still don't believe him. He's been the principal enemy of the followers of Jesus, carting them off to jail and to prison. Saul may have seen the light, but not everybody believes him. Saul may have seen the light, but he comes to the next step. He's baptized and accepted by the church in Damascus. So he goes back to Jerusalem. They realize that this is true, and that they have a skilled leader in Saul, and that they've commissioned him to go with Barnabas, and they give him a new name, from Saul to Paul. Of the team, Paul is a more dynamic speaker, as the New Testament bears witness. You don't find too much comments about Barnabas, but you hear a lot about Paul. But without Barnabas, Paul wouldn't have been discovered. So we need both of them. Paul took a big chance of going to Jerusalem after his episode on that road. He's best known as a persecutor, and he has come to find the followers of this Jesus and make them captive. He's very zealous in his work. The followers of Jesus are going to give him a wide berth because he's a dangerous person to have in their area. The episode on the road, whether you can call it heat stroke, epilepsy, or the intervention of God, changed Saul to become Paul. He'd been an in-charge man up to that point. He'd been saying, I'll go to Damascus, and I'll arrest all those people who've been following this Jesus. But he was reduced to being led around because he couldn't see, because he couldn't hear. The followers of Jesus take Saul in and care for him. He goes to their meetings and begin to speak about how God was helping him. Saul's preaching confused many of the people there. Wasn't this the one who came to seek out them and make them captives? Whose side was he on anyway? Then there was Ananias, where he's a leader in the church in Damascus, who had a strange vision about a known enemy of the followers of Jesus coming, and he was to help him, telling him to welcome this enemy and to care for him in a time of confusion. Ananias struggles with his assignment. Don't you know he's the enemy of the church? With the assurance that everything was okay, Ananias cares for Paul in his recovery time. Then there's also Barnabas, one of the leaders of the church in Damascus, who takes a chance and takes Paul under his wing as Paul is discovering God's mission for him. There are a lot of taking chances in this story. The people you don't know that well or have certainty about how things will work out. We like to know how things will work out before we undertake a new venture. I don't think that any of these three men knew how this story would come out. The fact is, we don't know how things will turn out for many of the things that happened to us either. Barnabas is one of my heroes. Not only does he take Paul under his care, he encourages him, and he recognizes in him skills that is needed in the church, which he doesn't have. And he travels with him and helps him develop his gifts, mostly in the background, but he's always supportive. As a pastor, I have some Barnabas colleagues, people that I've known, that have undertaken tasks they didn't know they could do, and have done them well. I think of Dick, who had a heart for a community around a church that was decaying. Some of the people moved there from other parts of the country. They didn't know all the ins and outs of living in a city. I mean, they needed to know how to live in a city and relate to neighbors, how to care for a lawn. Where they lived, the goats took care of that. So they need to know that you have to mow your lawn when it gets too high. But he worried about these people and ministered to them. Many of them were reached because of his concern. And he was one of the people that he didn't imagine was going to be one of the leaders of that church. Pinky was a woman who grew up in New England. She saw that people there resisted change. Actually, people in New England always resist change. But the changes were needed in the world that she lived in, the people that she met. People in a prosperous suburb can hardly realize what life is like in the rest of the world. But she set about to do something about that. She became the first woman trustee in that church, which was a shake-up in the first place. But she also was one who had introduced the fact that the church was more than just the people that came out on Sunday morning. Terry was a young woman who noticed that handicapped young people, young adults, had no place in the church that she was a member of or in the community where she lived. Meeting with some other people who were concerned from other churches, she discovered that she was not alone in this concern. She was instrumental in getting a program for handicapped adults started on an ecumenical basis. I was not responsible for the creation of any of these programs, but I had to perform the Barnabas role as a role of an encourager to some of these people who had the ideas. In the next months, we're going to be called upon as a congregation to think about what the mission of this church is, what it should be. It's a great time when we should be doing some dreaming. Maybe the dreams won't all work out. In fact, I can guarantee they won't. Some things we think you want, you really don't need. But the dreaming is necessary if you're going to do something that is in the line of what God is calling us to do. Recreating the past has never been a great achievement. This is an opportunity for us to stretch our minds and to take some chances for ministry in our community that we haven't done up till now. Some may have ideas that will sound like that's a crazy idea, but maybe if we think about it, there's some possibility. I'm sure that the people in Damascus weren't all that thrilled about somebody coming from Jerusalem and who had been a follower of the Pharisees and the persecutors of the church, suddenly saying, we need to do something here and do something about life. So I hope that in the next month, we will, as a congregation, do some thinking about and some dreaming, things that we haven't done before. Be willing, be open to other people's ideas. We won't be able to do them all, but we shouldn't do them all. But at least we'll be doing some creative things which the Lord wants us to be doing here in Delaware. Lord, we thank you for the power that you give to us in our lives. We thank you for the way in which you lead us to do things we didn't know we could do. Give to this congregation the willingness to listen, the willingness to dream, and the willingness to put their lives on the line for your work. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. For him this afternoon is 504, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Go now into a world which needs the message of Jesus Christ, to live out that world and to live it out in faith. Be with this church in its many ways to come in this year. Guide us and serve us in Jesus' name. Amen.